Nigel, if you could put it back on the book, the James reading before we go into the PowerPoint, and just have a little look at that. Is anyone of you suffering? They should pray. It sounds so right for a Christian to say that. Are you suffering? Yeah, then pray. What's prayer gonna do? I want to ask. Any of you cheerful, they should sing songs of praise. Get dancing if there's a cheer, the joy within you. Any among you sick, they should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The anointing is something that they used to do, symbolic of God's presence. And it's still done today. There was a service we went a few months ago to collect some oil. And then the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Praying, doing some of these things, causes us as Christians to be considered as widows and like people who are awkward in their behavior, because those are not easy things we are asked to do. They're not the ordinary thing that people gravitate to do in our secular world. And so we'll be exploring the gift of faith, tongues, and miracles. If you could move into the PowerPoint for me when it's ready. We're going to be looking at this, and faith is all right. I think people accommodate faith. Miracles and tongues, oftentimes they make us think of things in the museum. A few years ago, I went to the British Museum and saw the Magna Carta on display there. And it's unfortunate that in most Christian settings, when we talk about miracles and tongues, that's the memory that comes to our mind, and it's unfortunate. I hope that's not the case here at St. Mary's, that tongues and miracles are things of the old. Our prayer, as we look through the gifts, is to believe. As Cain said, they're different to fruits, they're unique, and they're given uniquely to people, not for those people's glory. In that passage afterwards, you don't have to go back to it. We hear about Elijah doing some awkward stuff, but not for his glory. He was doing it so that people would be moved towards God. And so, if any of us have got this gift and other gifts that we've been exploring, it's not for you to glory in them. It is what we sang a few minutes ago. This is our Lord, the servant King. He calls us now to follow him. To be what I often say, the chip of the old block, to be little Christians distributed about, doing the things that Jesus would do if he had your life to live. That is what we try to do as Christians, to do what Jesus would do if he was the one carrying your life around and being in you. What would he do? We often ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? But he dwells in us. And so, being the followers of Christ is important. And so Paul calls us to be living sacrifices. And the good thing about the living sacrifice, it can walk off the altar. It's not tied there. But we opt each morning to go on the altar and to do the things of God. I'm going to pray, and then we'll explore this together. I hope that these gifts will somehow come out of the museum if they're there for some of us. And if they're already out of the museum and you're exercising them, I pray that you'll be encouraged to exercise them more, not for your glory, but for God's glory. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gifts that you give to us. We thank you in particular for the gift of faith, tongues, miracles. And as you give this gift to us, we pray that we would have the courage to put them to practice, to use them for your glory. To use them to build your church here in Weldon and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, three gifts: tongues, miracles, faith. And we start with faith. And faith is that special conviction that God gives to us to see his power and act unwavering confidence in his promises. Faith. Beautifully, the young children were trying to replicate what was on the other side and trying to build that. Isaiah says, no one knows the thoughts of God, no one knows the ways of God. But God in His Spirit desires to communicate that to you and to me. He desires to replicate His acts throughout Scripture, His acts of love, kindness, and grace. He desires to see that replicated in our world. He desires to see you and me using that to build the kingdom, to do what He has already built. Jesus is wanting you and me to be Christ-like. So there is an element of the way we call them the gift of communication is because they're helping us to somehow understand what is God about and then to go and do that, to join Him in what He is doing. So people who have faith, they have that special conviction. And this is not the faith that leads you to salvation. These gifts are an assumption that somebody has already become a Christian. And so they are gifted to the people of God so that they can enable them to go and do the work of God. I briefly caught something yesterday of the amazing John Piper. And he said, if I could summarize what I do each day into a few words, I would say, all I'm doing is to raise the affection for God in people. To share the good news of God such that people would be revived and caused to love God. Think about that. The affection of God amongst His people. And obviously, we live in a world that our attention is divided, our loyalty is drawn from one thing to the other, and our affections can be distributed about. But if our primary affection is for God, that would be very good. So what does faith mean to us? So it's believing in God's promises with conviction that when God says things, He will do them. People of faith have no doubt. They believe in those promises and they do them as though when you came in here, I just wonder, did any of you check the bolts of the pews just to confirm they're not loose and you might not fall off? Did you check the wood that you're sat on just to ensure that it's strong? You just came and sat. Because you're used to doing it, you saw other people doing it, many people have sat on those pews. So there is an element of human faith in relying on them. What if our faith in the promises of God was that clear? What if our commitment to the things of God, holding on to them firmly, without doubt, knowing God has said it, He has said He will walk with you, He has said He will share His love with you, He has said lots of wonderful things that He will do. What if we believed in such things with the same amount of faith that you sat on that pew, without any element of doubt? So that's what faith does. It causes us to act with confidence in God's ability. We know it's not to do with us. We know it's to do with God. So we know it's not our power. Yesterday, I was at Wells Cathedral encouraging my brother who was being ordained a priest. We started with him. And just that refrain that you remember when I was being ordained a deacon, with the help of God, we will. So faith is leaning on to God's help, but not just holding on to those words as things to memorize, but acting on them. It's advancing Christ's cause even when others hesitate. You all know people of faith, when they pray, they have no doubt. And that is a gift from God. And if you have that gift, exercise it. Don't be afraid. Those things I read for you in James, Pauline read earlier, they make us look like we are weird, a weird bunch. But because we believe in them, so we pray to God. Faith is helping, it helps us to expect and attempt great things for God. We have been praying, we've been through a year of preparation. Are you believing that these pews can be filled up? Are you believing that in the estate, the new estates that we have around us, that people will be warmed up for God and they will come running to be part of God's family? As I drove earlier from collecting Irene and the boys, I drove past that wonderful two people sat at the back And I said to Irene, I'm sure they're running to get to church in time. And as I just was about to get into the church, I said hello to them. And I hope you don't mind me telling them. They're visiting from Australia. And just that element of like, they are dashing to find the church that's local to them and join the fellowship of God's people. Our parish has brought together the whole world. There's a huge diversity in our parish. So faith, if you have that faith, put it into action, believing that God will bring people. And not that St. Mary's would be said, it's grown, it's the best church. No, it's for God's glory, for his praise. If we try and do it for ourselves, my goodness, it's just gonna backfire. And faith is finding the reality of being a living sacrifice. Each day, taking up the cross and saying, I'm going to give in. I'm not going to give in to the desires of the flesh. I'm going to give in to what the Spirit of God is doing. I'm going to lean in to hear what the Spirit is saying. That is faith. And I know you and I have got things we can look back to and say, only faith carried me through that season. Only faith carried me through that season. The faith of yourself or friends or family, people who have journeyed with you. As I was heading towards Saturday, the ordination day, and a few weeks after I'll be visiting Kenya, my mom's been unwell since January. And I was praying to God that I wouldn't be thinking about her unwell on the day of ordination. I was praying in faith that God would heal her. And when we visit, I was praying as well, and I shared with some of you, I want my boys to find how well so they can make memories with them. Yesterday, she came out of hospital. A doing of God. When I know she's well, when I ring her, she will say, she calls me my son. English is her third language, but how I know she's well, she says, hello, my son, with joy. And that was an act of faith, just praying that. And I know you and I have experiences when we've said to God, God, please, would you intervene? That's the gift of the church. Lean into those people who have such a faith. Ask them to pray with you. And the same way you sat on the pew, just allow yourself to lean onto God's promises and purposes the same way. Allow me to move on to the gift of tongues. One, again, that is most of the people's mind when it's mentioned, they're like, okay, that's I saw that in the British Museum. It's no longer working. It doesn't apply. It is... because it's a weird gift when people start speaking in tongues, but it's still in the list of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. On the day of Pentecost, they started speaking in different tongues. And the joy of it, they were not speaking gibberish. They were not just saying random things. The people who were around them could hear them speaking. People from Egypt, from Libya, from Phrygia. If you read that list, the Cretans, they could hear them speaking in their languages. And if you remember back in the Old Testament, the moment when people spoke the same language, they were doing against the will of God. They were building the Tower of Babel, and they wanted to be elevated higher than God himself. On the Pentecost day, God reunites the tongues, the voices, the languages, not for the worship of humanity, but for the worship of God. How amazing would it be if you guys started speaking in Kikuyu or Swahili? You have no clue what you're saying, but because I know Kikuyu and Swahili, I tell you, I can tell you what you're saying. That's amazing. So if you feel God is giving you that gift, exercise it, practice it in your own space, but for the worship, we need an interpreter for it to be edifying. We need someone who can interpret that. But I don't want that to be your barrier. You cannot know what interpreter you need until you speak, because you cannot go looking for what language am I speaking. But the gift of tongue, it has its purpose in the church. It helps us to speak those unknown languages. It breaks the barriers of division that we see in our world, unites the church. It also helps us to communicate a message that is definitely not coming from our mind. It skips the logic. It allows us to communicate directly from God to the heart, to the people. It's a privilege when people have that gift. And I know it has been, some of you have been in churches where it's overemphasized. It's not necessary to overemphasize gifts. If you notice you have it, put it to practice, not for your glory, but for the glory of God. It's supposed to edify the church. It's supposed to communicate things that God is telling someone to the people so they can be encouraged in their fellowship. It is one that if you sense you have it, most people, they just, the moment it happens, they will hold back for a very long time because of the uncertainty around it. But the more you avail yourself, that God allows that gift to flourish, it has to be practiced. It has to be received just like other gifts. But do not delegate it to the lyrics, the relics, or the museum. If you have that gift, exercise it for God's glory. All of these gifts are always looking weird to the secular world. But to God's people, they make sense because they're in Scripture. Miracles. So miracles reveals God's presence in our lives. It just shows, again, I challenged you to look back to those moments when you have prayed and God has answered. I just shared with you my own experience of God's doing. It is, we pray in faith, God responds with miracles. And it's His choice to respond that way. And there are people who help, the people who have this gift of miracles. They encourage us to recognize when God is intervening in things. They will tell you, I can sense, I can tell. And they will check it with you prayerfully. This is what I sense God is telling me to share with you. It is a wonderful gift. And I have been a beneficiary of people who have that gift praying for me, praying with me. Because all they are doing, it's knowing what's on the other side through the Holy Spirit, just like the kids were doing here. It's listening to the Holy Spirit and trying to build the picture that God is putting in their spirit. It's nothing of them. They're just a vessel, fully obedient and available for God. So please, if you have that gift, again, exercise it. Allow it to flourish in our congregation. And when miracles happen, they inspire faith in other people. Miracles are not just for the miracle's sake. These signs and wonders, they should put us closer to God. They should draw us closer to God. I'm saying this as a warning because if you discover these gifts and you use them for your own benefit, it won't benefit the kingdom. So if you have them and you can pray for God's miracles to happen, let them be for God's glory. People who have this power and gift of miracles, they journey closely with God, like Elijah. But they are not strangers to us. We know of people who have that gift. But if you have that gift, please exercise it for the glory of God's kingdom. So these gifts are to bring unity. So unity through gifts, they promote the unity of the church. Oftentimes when these three gifts are mentioned, mainly the tongues and miracles, people start arguing, I don't believe in miracles, and they cause division. If our conversation about these gifts causes our church to be divided, then that's not their purpose. They should cause our bond with God to be even stronger. Each gift contributes to the common good. Ken reminded us very well of the introduction. They are not self-serving. They are for the common good. And they help us to advance the kingdom of God. Some of us might be sat there thinking, well, those gifts, I can think about someone who's got them, but that's not me. May I remind you, in God's kingdom, no one is unemployed. No one is redundant. All of you have a particular gift. It doesn't have to be these three. We are exploring a lot more with time. But how do you know if you have a gift? I'll just leave you with four things you could do. And I have done, personally, to think about what gifts I have. The first one is self-examination. Ask God, because we can, with confidence, say to each of you, God has a gift for each of you. That is the way he works. He has a gift for each of you. I don't know what it is, but you can ask him in prayer. God, what is my gift? Is it administration? Is it serving? Is it giving? Is it leadership? Is it faith? Is it tongues? Is it miracles? Those are the ones we've covered so far. Ask him, self-examine. And then think about the experience. I said about the tongues. You cannot hide away. You can't say, I have this gift. I didn't want to say it because it might be awkward. Unless you say it. If you say it, then we can find you someone who can interpret it. It could be that it's from a different part of the world, but God would ensure, just like he did on the Pentecost, someone will hopefully be able to interpret that gift. Consider experiencing them and testing them. Have a go. Have a go. Trust in God. And then study the scriptures. The Bible has a good category of gifts. Look into the Bible and ask yourself, which one do I reckon might be in me? And the final one, which is very common, listen to other people's affirmation of the gifts you have. And listen with acceptance. Listen with an openness of mind. These gifts are not for me and for you to be glorying in ourselves, because some of the times people struggle to receive the gifts because when it's called out, you think, oh, I don't want to be that person. I don't think I'm worth it. But it's a gift. Receive it, acknowledge it, and be thankful for it. And I pray that as we carry on, we will be able to notice these gifts in others and be able to share. Recently, Ken has been sharing with us three particular things that have really profound in how we go forward in our mission and trying to do what God is doing. And I won't go into the detail of them, but the first one is we have to remove fear. If we have to exercise these gifts, we have to say goodbye to fear and replace it with faith. Majority of people have got the gift, but the only thing they're worried about, the only thing that's holding them back is fear. By the power of God, I pray that the fear will be removed from us so that we can go forward with confidence and in faith. And then as soon as that fear is gone, we start to see the unlocking of the potential. We start to believe those things that God can do. And the final one is unleashing the Spirit of God. He is the one who guides us. How do we unleash the Spirit of God? How do we get more of the Spirit at work within us? We don't ask for more of the Spirit. What we do is to surrender more of ourselves to him. Are there areas of your life you haven't surrendered to him? Surrender that. Surrender those areas of your life to him. And if we do these three things, we are going to transition from being a consumer church to being a missional church. Do you know the difference? It says here, the church, a consumer church is seen as a dispenser of religious goods and services. People come to church to be fed, to have their needs met through quality programs, to have the professional teach their children about God. That is the consumer mindset. What is in it for me? We appreciate we all need feeding. I need feeding every day, the spiritual things of God. But that's not the posture. A missional church is a body of people sent on a mission who gather in community for worship, community, encouragement, and teaching from the word, in addition to what they are self-feeding themselves throughout the week. Consumer church, they say, I go to church. A missional church, they say, I am the church. I pray that that becomes the case for you and for me. An awareness that we are the church. We are God's people. That beautiful picture of Moses lifting his hands as a priest. And he prayed for many, many hours. What happened to Moses when he got tired? They brought people around him. Because every time his hands were up, God was giving his people victory. But when his hands got tired, people started gravitating towards his hands and holding them up. The church of God will not be built by the best minister you can ever get in our world. It will be built by everyone joining in what God is doing. So take action today. Encourage someone in their faith journey. Affirm those gifts. Engage in meaningful conversations about the Spirit of God. Build bridges where there is tension. Encourage each other. Cheer each other on. We need each other. Like those bits of charcoal, when they are gathered together, the flame expands. Recognize and share God's work in your life. Please don't forget to celebrate when a prayer has been answered. The testimony is very important. Share where God has been with you. And then rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. I remember when Hayden, my DDO, came here some months ago. He said, I pray that the church of God would have more joy. That we would be known for how joyful a people we are. As we long to see God transform our area, our parish, let us believe that he can do these things. Let us thank him for the gifts he has given us. Pray for guidance to use these gifts wisely. I pray that none of us will use the gifts for their own glory. And then be committed to unity and love in the church. Be a living sacrifice to the one who becomes a dying sacrifice. He died for us. He gave everything for us. Are we willing to offer everything for him? I finish with a story of two men. The 60-year-old men sat outside having a chat with each other. One says, I think we should plant some fruit trees. One of the 60-year-old men says, plant a fruit tree? I don't think I've got too long left for me to watch it grow from a seedling until a point when it can bear fruit that I can eat from it. The other man says, it's fine, I'll plant mine. It doesn't matter. If I don't eat it, my children or children's children will eat it. So one goes ahead and plants the fruit tree. The other one doesn't. 30 years down the line, they both are still around. And as they catch up outside their houses, the one who planted the tree always brought a bowl of fruit for the one who didn't. I pray today you can exercise your faith. You can sow that mustard seed size of faith and believe in God that he can do great things for you and for the church and for the Christian community around the world. Let us pray. Lord, would you speak to each of us this morning? Send out your Holy Spirit to help us to find faith in the things you have promised. If there are any, God, here who you're calling and giving the gift of faith, Lord, we welcome that with open arms. If there are any who you're sending the gift of tongues, Lord, we welcome that with open arms. If there are any who you're giving the gift of miracles, Lord, we welcome that with open hands. Help us to believe. We surrender to your Holy Spirit today, seeking his guidance and leading, with him guiding us each step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.